and awesome God. That's right. You know what? He's so good that in the year 2016, He's going to put a song on Frank's heart. Whoa, yeah. Yeah, Frank. Oh, we're looking forward to this. Coming up, 2016. Folks, we are launching this morning a new series that's going to last, if it's progressive, it's going to last 1 year. Whoa, you can say, oh my goodness. Yeah, we're going to be looking at something. We are going to begin building on the foundations. If we're going to walk for Jesus Christ and do what the Word says that we read in our Sunday school class this morning, Joy, we need the foundations, don't we, buddy? That's tough stuff. It's really tough stuff when you start living for Jesus and as you continue to live for Him. And you know, sometimes we overlook the little things in life that are just so huge. When we walked out of our Sunday school class, Nicole said, I'm alive. That's huge, folks. That's huge. I'd like to deal with foundation. In fact, I want to launch us this morning in Luke chapter 14, in verse 25. I'm going to turn you over there, and then you're going to stay with me. Okay, because let me tell you how this thing's going to work. Every lesson that we preach this week, next week is going to build on this week. Okay, we're going to be building a foundation. So the point is this, you don't need to miss out on any of them. Because we're going to start back in the book of Genesis. And we're going to go chronologically through the Bible all the way up to the coming of and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. So Frank, you have to stay with me, buddy, okay? Because we're going back to the foundations and we're going all the way with it. You with me now? All right, Frank's my buddy. Okay, y'all remember that movie, Bob? Y'all remember Bob? His real name was Frank. Okay. All right. In Luke chapter 14, I'm going to pick it up with verse 25 for emphasis sake. It says, now great multitudes went with him, and he returned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife or children, brothers or sister, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. If you're a builder, what is probably the most important part of the building? Foundation. You got it. It's the foundation. And so therefore, if we are going to live the Christian life, the foundation is the most important part. And that's the reason why we have gone through certain periods of time in the life of the church in which we have lost sight of the foundation. And so this year, God willing, and if He continues to lead in that direction, we're going to be laying a foundation, packing it in, getting it ready to build. Next slide. Because in this foundation, there's going to be some goals here, a chronological study, and this may not be as clear, but I want you to know there's a mission statement right there. Here's what we want you to do this year in 2016. We want you to hear, understand, respond to, and reproduce. Now let's practice that for those of y'all who live in the corner of Alabama. We want to hear, understand, respond to, and reproduce. You see, when you build the foundation, that's what happens. So when we're talking about God's word right here, we got to hear it. We got to understand what we hear. Then He's calling us to respond to it. This is not just an exercise. Every time you sit in a worship service, you sit in a worship service, you're asked to respond. Whoa, every time? That's exactly right. The Holy Spirit shoots His rifle, hits us in the heart every time. And each of us must make decisions. Some smaller, some larger. But you're always required, you always are asked to respond to the Word of God. So, and then, if all you do is respond to it, you hadn't gone the distance. It's got to be reproducible. You got to carry it on. You got to share it. It's not yours till you give it away. Next slide. In looking at this, I had some personal goals being established. And some of you are going to like this one. I'm going to walk straighter. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know the humpback of State Line Baptist? I'm going to walk straighter. I'm going to be wearing a back brace. I'm going to be stretching my back. This time next year, I'm going to be a little bit taller, if that's possible. I'm going to walk straight. But you know, in my spiritual life, I want to walk more godly. I want to walk straighter than I did in 2015. So personally, yeah, I got some goals to go after. Secondly, I'm going to walk lighter. Ooh, I don't like that one. I'm carrying around a 10-pound baby plus a 5-pound baby that I'm going to get rid of. Y'all know what that is? Do I give you any suggestions? I'm going to walk lighter. But you know what spiritually that means? Those things that I'm holding on to, I'm not going to hold on to them as tight. So when they're taken away, it won't hurt so much. Fact, you know what we read this morning in Sunday school? That if somebody asks you for something, you give it. And if somebody gets something that you have, you don't go ask them for it back. You want to get stirred up. You read the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to walk lighter. So I'm not going to hold on things as tight. Thirdly, I want to walk bolder. Intentionally, what that means is that I want to be more vocal for Jesus Christ. I want, in different groups and different settings, I want to be more vocal for Him. What does that mean spiritually? That means being intentional. Intentional. So when I walk up to somebody, I'm seeing it's somebody that Christ died for. Somebody that needs to know about Jesus Christ. And sometimes it takes people 2 or 3 years for them to come to that place in which they hear, understand, respond to, and then reproduce. What's your goals? You know what? If you shoot at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Shoot for the stars. You may hit a moon. Let's do it. Personally, establish. Now, this is not New Year's resolution. I've had enough New Year's resolution for a lifetime. This is a life commitment. And this time next year, I want Diane to walk up to me and say, "Robert, how much do you weigh?" And if I weigh 186 this time next year, you tell me you didn't meet your goal. Okay? I give you free. Oh, now she's going to walk up, and anybody else can ask me, I won't answer you. But I will. No. I will. What are you going to do? I'm going to be responsible. I'm held accountable. Scott can come up to me. Scott, buddy, I'm going to walk taller. I'm going to walk straighter. I'm going to be more bold for Jesus this year. You ready? You with me? Scott is. I know he is. Next slide. Because what we're thinking about this, we got to be in perspective. We got to establish some perspective. Now, what's going to happen is, in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to begin to look. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning God created. Now, if you went all the way to Revelation chapter 22, verse 20 and 21, what do you read? He who testified to those things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Wait a minute. What was at the beginning? What? No, not the beginning. Yeah, there you go. You got to get with it now. In the beginning, God created, all right, the heavens and the earth. He did it. And we won't be using those slides. They're not showing up too good. I'll do better next week. But I want you to see, in the beginning, God created. Now, do you believe that? Yeah. You better be ready now. If you say you believe it, I'm going to put some stuff on you. Now, go all the way to the other end of the Bible. And what does it say? I'm coming back quickly. Who's that talking? That's the Lord Jesus. Okay? So if you can believe Genesis 1, and if you can believe Revelation chapter 22, verse 21 and 22, you can believe everything else in the middle. Are you with me? It's difficult. You got to believe the beginning and you got to believe the end. If you'll do that, everything in this book you can believe. You can hear it. You can understand it. You can respond to it. And what can you do? Y'all get an A+. You can reproduce it. So we got to tell stories in a way that people can hear and people can understand. Next slide. Because in looking at this, just think about it, we're trying to get perspective. I know you can't read all these words, but there's a Kepler satellite that's out there taking pictures. NASA and your tax dollars sent out this satellite. And what it's trying to do, it's trying to locate planets that can support life. So why it's out there seeking to find planets that can support life, by the way, they hadn't found any yet, okay? Earth's the only one. But it's taking these pictures and showing us different planets. So what you're looking at right there, these are planet sizes. And y'all see that little dot in the far right-hand corner? Y'all see that dot right over there? You know what that word says? You got it. How big is Earth? Do you get the perspective? Look at Earth. I mean, just a dot. Look how big this universe is. Next slide. So as we begin to think about perspective and Earth, this is the Milky Way galaxy. And there's millions of galaxies out there. There's this huge, huge universe. And do you see where you are in the Milky Way? How big are you? You got the perspective? Now, you might say, wait a minute, I can't get my hands around this. That's right. You can't. But if you put all these million galaxies, millions of stars out there, what are they saying? They are saying, glory to God. So when you begin to look at how huge this place is, it's not about you, it's about who? It's about God. So God is the focus in the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. So everything you see up there in the skies, man, that's what it said, made by God. Next slide. His glory. See all those pictures out there? That's what these satellites are taking, these huge satellites, and they're looking at all these brilliant planets and the Milky Ways and all these stars and all the gases and the glory and all of the beauty right there. That's marking His glory. Next slide. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1. What are you looking at right there? You're looking at stars and possibly some planets right in there. How many are up there? You suppose every one of those stars has a name? Next slide. Psalm 147 verse 4 says, He counts the number of the stars and He calls them all by name. Whoa! Psalm 33 verse 6 says, By the word of the Lord the heavens were made. By the word of the Lord. When God spoke, what happened? There they go. And when He spoke, the light came out. And how fast is light traveling? 186,000 miles per second when He spoke. Boom! Out of His mouth, light just took out. Can you see His glory? Do you get it? Here's what I wanted to ask. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the word of the Lord, He spoke. And what happened? Boom! There it is. You got it? Can you see it? Do you get it? Say, got it. Good. Okay, let's practice that one more time. Get it? Good. All right, now we're together. Next slide. Because the Scripture says the Bible is God's message to all people. For what came out of the mouth of God? Look here. The Scripture says, and that's in Matthew chapter 4:4. It says, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let me say it one more time. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are you with me? Okay, did you? He speaks it. And what happened to the universe? Pew! There it is. Millions and millions and millions of stars, planets, galaxies. If He spoke the Word with such power that created the universe, and now when He speaks the Word to us, how much power is behind that? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Get it? Good. Next slide. Because we're looking at here the Bible now. The Bible is a history book. It's His story. And it's all about God. Let's really get down to it. It's not about you and how you feel. It's about God and about His glory. Next slide. What we're going to be doing, we're going to be looking at firm foundations. We're going to be covering the major themes of the Bible. We're going to be starting at Genesis and we're going toward Revelation. And we're not going to be able to bow down and to get every detail. Those in my Sunday school class, how long have we been in the book of Luke? Long time. We can't stop with every little theme. We're going to talk about the themes, the big picture. But we're not going to be able to drill down. But now, here's what I want you to do. If you got the courage, if you want to know, if you want to hear, if you want to understand, and if you want to respond to and you want to pass it on that bulletin, write down some questions. Let's talk about some of this stuff. Are you with me? You really have some ideas that we need to pursue and we need to understand. And we may take 5 minutes on Sunday morning. We might, may not, I don't know. Depends on how, what kind of questions you ask me. You know, we may take a few minutes and try to answer some of these questions, but I got to know it. You got to tell me, okay? You with me? You got to let me know what's going on, because I want you to hear it. I want you to understand it. I want you to respond to it. Most important, I want you to pass it on. Next slide. Because we're building a foundation right here. A foundation. You see, if you don't have a good foundation, your building's not going to stand. And the Scripture says, for there's no other temptation can anyone lay than that which was laid, which is in Jesus Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians. No other foundation. And I apologize on some of that Scripture. It didn't look that way when I put it together. Okay, all right, technological. We got to work on that in 2016. But do you understand the firm foundation? Can you see that? Are you rooted and grounded in the Word of God? Do you have it? Are you stable? If the winds come along, are they going to blow you off? If a new doctrine comes along, is it going to blow you away? If you have hard times coming into your life, are you going to crumble? Not if you have a firm foundation. That's what we're working on. Next slide. Because when we think about this, the Scripture teaches us the Word of God. Now, when I think about the Word of God coming into focus right here, I want to bring up something. Hang on with me just a moment. The Scripture says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. From Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Troy, what does the word inspiration mean? Can you read it? Actually, it disappeared. It says God breathed. God breathed. Hey, did y'all hear that? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means all Scripture is what? God breathed. Get it? Good. Okay. All right. So this is the Word of God which is coming out, and now we can hear it. We can understand it. Next slide. Because in our study, beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and going to Revelation 22, we're taking our current study and we're heading toward the Revelation. Next slide. The Bible here, the history book, is going to be about God. It's inspired by God. Next slide. Therefore, we know that the Bible is the Word of God. Do you know it? The Bible is the Word of God. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is out of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you, do you really believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Okay, are you going to do what the Bible says? That's what happens if the Bible asks you to love your neighbor? What happens if the Bible says, give to anyone that asks? What happens if somebody steals your out or coat? Are you going to give them your shirt also? What happens if your enemy comes along and just says all kind of evil things against you? What are you going to do? Whoa. You better be standing on a firm foundation. Because without that firm foundation, it's just not going to happen. We've got to be standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Next slide. Because the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible displays God's plan of salvation. Isaiah 45:22 says, look to me and be saved, all you of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Whoa, wait a minute. There is no other. What about Buddha? What about Muhammad? What about Allah? What? No other. There is no other. There's only one path of salvation. This is God's plan. So if we understand that this is God's plan, He said, "What? Well, look to me and be what? Saved." Yeah. Look to me. Don't look to the stock market. Don't look to the White House or the outhouse. Don't look. Look to me and be saved. Next slide. God chose Israel to display His plan. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, what you're seeing here is a record of how God spoke to Abraham. When God spoke to Abraham, He gave him a blessing. So if you want to know what the time clock, you want to see what's going on, watch the nation of Israel. It was true back then. It is true today. This is God's display. And you want to know why I'm so pro-Israel? It's because this blessing right here. He said to Abraham, He said, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great and bless, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abraham, father of faith, coming down the line. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Next slide. What you're seeing right here, this is where history took place. You see Egypt down there. Remember that we're going to talk about Joseph being in slavery. Do you see Babylon up there? Iraq? You want to know where the Garden of Eden was located? Up there around that word Babylon? Assyria? You see that to the north in Persia and then Greece and then Rome? All of that. And you see that little bitty dot right there in the center, and coming out of that little dot, if it's highlighted, you'd see Israel. You got the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. You got Judah and Israel. This is where it's happening, folks. This is where the foundation was laid. And this is the reason why on the newspaper, if we watch it, next slide. Because God's message is through Israel to the whole world. The Bible says that God spoke through the prophets. Ultimately, the Bible teaches us through Jesus Christ. He is proclaiming to the world. Next slide. In the Daily Watch, the world watches Israel. And so I just pulled out an article yesterday. I would say, okay, if that's really true. So I opened up USA Today and it said, "Jerusalem, 3 months of nearly daily attacks by Palestinians have kept Jerusalem streets quieter than usual. But that hasn't stopped Israel teacher Tala Malek from purposely taking public transportation and attempting to keep up her daily routine despite deep anxieties." In Israel. By the way, Palestine, Palestinians, you know that's not mentioned in the Bible? You know where that's coming from? Do y'all remember the Philistines? Hey, this land belongs to Israel. But the war still taking place. We're going to be focusing in on that. Next slide. Because the Bible is His story. It's about God, inspired by God, and preserved by God. Has anybody ever heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Dead Sea Scrolls, there's a bunch of guys, bound to have been teenagers. They had a bunch of rocks and they were out there just a few miles from Jerusalem, out in the kind of the desert area. There was a cave up there and they took some rocks and they just throwing rocks up there in the little caves. And all of a sudden, they threw a rock up there and they heard something go, ka-cheek. And they said, "That was a funny sound." So they climbed up there and they found these jars. And inside of these jars, there were scriptures dating back. I can't remember back how early, 400, A.D., I believe, maybe before that. I think some of them back into maybe even before Christ. They found these pieces of Scripture. You know what it did? It validated all the Scriptures that's been held. God's preserved the Scripture. Now, you talk to some of my friends, and some of my friends are going to say, well, do you have the original text that the prophet spoke back in the Old Testament? And I'm going to say, no. But I do have what God kept and what God preserved. And did you know that no major doctrine has been changed for over 4,000 years? There are going to be those that claim, well, we have what the prophet Muhammad wrote in Arabic. Well, we have the Word of God. And you know what? This Word right here can be trusted. It's alive. It's been preserved by God. Next slide. Because it's been preserved by God, the Bible is the true record of what God said to the prophets. The words of the Lord are pure words. Like silver tried in the furnace, purified seven times, you shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forward. Psalms 12, 6, and 7. How long is the Word of God going to be preserved? Forever! Forever! Hey, look, the Bible is the record of what God said to the prophets. Can you trust it? You can stake your life on it. And believe it. God's holding it intact. Next slide. Because in this, the Bible is an accurate historical record. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Wendy, God said it. God said it. That sounded good, didn't it? God said it. That settles it. Whether I believe it or not. God said, that settles it. I believe it. I believe it. For how long? Ever. Forever. Next slide. The Bible is God's personal message to each of us. When we think about God's message being personally to us, we need to come across these words. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. God's Word is alive. Hey, Dust. What was you just thinking? Come on. Now just tell me, what were you just thinking? Yeah. That's okay, buddy. That's okay. I pick on your daddy all the time. Did you know that God was just listening in on your conversation with your mind? Yeah, He was. Isn't that a scary thing? And He knows what was good and He knows what's better. Or what was good and what's not bad. And he says, hey, Dustin's phasing out on me. Bring him back. Call on him, Robert. Gotcha. God knows your thoughts. He goes right down to the nitty-gritty. And if you want to know what's right and what's wrong, God knows it. And if you got some crazy thoughts going on in your mind, God knows it. And if you're trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong, God knows it. He can get it right down there. He knows it. He can put it on. And it's personal. None of you, including me, know what was going on inside of Dustin's mind. But God did and does. If He can name all the stars in the skies, yeah. He's got His eyes on Dustin. Next slide. So what do we got here? God is the focus. You can't read it up there. It didn't come out the way I wanted it to. So God is the focus. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about God's plan of salvation. We're talking about that God chose Israel and that the Bible is an accurate historical record. And we're talking about God's personal message to you. And that is from creation to the Christ. So I've got to ask you a question. Are you in? Are you in? Are you ready to work and build this foundation? Are you ready to experience? But now I'm not asking you just to hear it. I'm asking you to understand it. I'm asking you to respond to it. And then what am I asking you to do? Reproduce it. Give it away. Are you in? Got it? Good. That's what we want. 2016 is going to be something else. What's it going to be in your family? What's it going to be in your life? 2016, we may not let you go home to your parents, okay? Oh, yeah. She'll be going home. 2016, just a few months away. But before she goes back to Spain, we want her to have the foundation laid. Will you stay with me to do that? I mean 5 months, okay? Let's lay the foundation. You with me? That's what it's going to take. And if we're going to love the way Jesus wants us to love, man, we got to build, we got to get a rock solid foundation. Because if you don't know it, all of a sudden, your mom and your daddy, they're going to go meet Jesus, aren't you, Frank? If you don't know it, your dad's going to get a new chance in life. You don't know. An aunt's got an aneurysm. You don't know. Man's going to Africa, right? Africa. You don't know. You're alive today. Wow. Isn't that tremendous? God's got something big in store. We got to get ready. We got to believe that Jesus Christ is coming back this year. This year. This year. Let's get ready. Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we're going to praise you. We're going to honor you. We're going to worship you. We're going to serve you. God, in all these things, we are seeking your face. Now, Lord, in 2016, we need help. We've got to have you, Jesus. We've got to build the foundation, and we've got to understand, Lord, the Word and how real it is, how big you are, how insignificant we are, but how much you love us. And we're going to get down, Lord. We're going to commit ourselves each Sunday that we're going to build the building blocks upon the foundation of the Word of God, which is God-breathed. We will be that person you want us to be in 2016. No excuses, no delays. This is your year. Father, help me to stand straighter. Help me to stand lighter. Help me to stand bold. Only you are going to help me physically and spiritually to reach those goals. But I believe that you are. And now I've got brothers and sisters in Christ right here that really are trying to grab hold to this thing. And I believe right now, Lord, they're doing it. They are committing themselves right now, Lord, to build the foundation. We're going to do that, God, together. We're going to do that in 2016. We are excited, God. More people is going to be fed than we've ever fed. More people's lives are going to be touched than we've ever touched. More people are going to experience the power of God than we believe ever experienced the power of God in our life. This is your year. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share together with a time of invitation.